Hey folks, it's Matthew, and this week we talk about fasting. I asked our class how many folks had ever fasted, and less than half the hands went up, and that's pretty typical. Most of us haven't tried it. It's been a long time since I have. I think it's worth our attention today. John Wesley, a couple hundred years ago, said basically some folks exalt religious fasting beyond all reason in all scripture, while others have neglected it for no reason. One author I looked at said that there hadn't been any books written on fasting between 1861 and 1954. It's a long time, considering that if you discount references, Jesus referred to fasting at least as often as baptism and confession, which we certainly know are important. So, fasting's worth talking about. I think maybe we ignore it for a lot of different reasons. You know, culture tells us we should have whatever we want when we want it. We don't want to try something like fasting, and hey, food's yummy. It's taking away something I like. So fasting's hard to talk about for us. Let's start with a working definition. Intentionally abstaining from something desirable and possibly necessary to focus on spiritual growth and development. So I'm ruling out talking about fasting because you're getting a cholesterol test here. Not that that's not important, but I'm talking about fasting intentionally. I'm not talking about it as a diet aid, not even as a spiritual diet aid, but I'm talking about something done for a spiritual purpose. And by the way, notice it's from something desirable. That's not just food, although it could be. It could be one kind of food. It could be one activity. It could be TV. Something significant, okay? Number two, I want us to say this. Like any spiritual discipline, it can be good, evil, or ineffective either way. The purpose and the person make the difference in fasting. I think you can see how that's true. It can be good, and it can be evil when it's done forced on you, or when it's done as a show. Or it can just mean nothing, like when you do it for a medical test. Prayer can be that way. It certainly can be good, but asking for the wrong thing, like James talks about in James 2, that you ask amiss, that you can have it on your pleasures, that's evil as far as I can tell, and fasting for bad motives can be too. We eat for a lot of reasons. Well, one, because we have to live. Two, we enjoy it. Three, it strengthens us, it nourishes us, it makes us strong. It's something we do to celebrate. It's a cultural thing. It's what you do with family. It's what you do on a date. It builds a connection. It gives you comfort. For some folks, it's an escape when they're worried. You know, what's a stereotypical thing when a girl gets rejected by a guy? She goes home and eats a bowl full of ice cream, right? Sometimes we have comfort food. Sometimes there are comfort drinks, but that's probably a lesson for a different day. Maybe the follow-up question should be, why would we fast then? Why not eat? Well, maybe because it can remind us that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Maybe because it'll show us who our real strength and our real source of nourishment is. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, Matthew says, but Luke just says, blessed are those who hunger. They'll be satisfied. Maybe it should remind us of our Christian family or those who aren't so blessed to have as much and so much plenty as we have. Maybe we should not eat when we're afraid and use that time as a reminder of God instead of just mindlessly satisfying our belly. You might not know this, but there was only one required fast day in the Old Testament. Most people assume there's 5 to 10, and that's the Day of Atonement, the most holy day of the year, Yom Kippur. This was the day of the scapegoat, and this was the day when sins were atoned. This is a big day. It was called the day. And the scriptures that refer to it as afflicting one's soul or going without, chastening in Psalm 69:10, and there's another passage in Psalm 34 that basically equate chastening oneself or humbling oneself or afflicting oneself with fasting. So that's how we know what they're talking about here in Leviticus 16, 23 and Numbers 29. It's interesting that the one required fast day is the most holy day of the year. Well, when you look at the times that folks fasted in the Bible, you have Moses fasting 40 days and nights twice in a row. You remember before he received the Ten Commandments, the first time and the second time. David fasted when his son with Bathsheba was sick until he died, a fast of repentance. Jehoshaphat for Judah for victory over the Moabites and Ammonites in 2 Chronicles 20. The Ninevites fasted to avert God's judgment in sackcloth and ashes after the world's shortest sermon, 40 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed. The Jews fasted along with Mordecai and Esther during her story and prior to her petition of the king. Saul, after seeing the light on the Damascus Road. Jesus, prior to temptation. By the way, I don't think Jesus was weak because he fasted and then was tempted. I think he was at his strongest. When Paul and Barnabas appointed elders in Acts 14, they did it with prayer and fasting. And husbands and wives sometimes take some time off, if you know what I mean, for prayer and fasting in 1 Corinthians 7:5, depending on your translation. If you look at Isaiah 58:3-7, Matthew 9:14-27, and Matthew 6:16-18, you see a few things that can ruin fasting. And that's fasting for show. That's fasting when it's not combined with a life that is dedicated. That's fasting without a change of heart. And I hope that you'll look at those passages. It's just like prayer in those respects. Prayer, when coupled with a life that is not a prayerful life, means nothing. A fast that is not attached to a life that trusts God means nothing. When you look at all these passages, it seems that fasting is a highly endorsed tool for spiritual growth that I don't need to know when you do. It's between you and God. And the purpose of this lesson is to get you to think about putting fasting back on the table, back on the options that you have, back on the way that you know you can trust God and show that. By the way, science says a lot about fasts. Alternating daily fasts show decreased morbidity or an increased lifespan in lab rats, reduced risk of cancer. Your digestive system gets a break and a chance to recover, cleanses toxins. It increases your neurological and nerve performance, and it gives mental clarity. I wonder how that could be helpful spiritually. It's good for you, but the reason we do it is to get closer to God in times of struggle, in times of temptation, in times of sorrow, or in times of joy. So maybe the best fast we could do is taking a working lunch and using it to go visit the sick and skipping that meal. Or maybe it's skipping dinner one night and using it for a family prayer time. I think that's maybe the most likely way we ought to fast. Here's a couple more passages you might be interested in. Most fasts were for one day, sunrise to sunset, just like on the Day of Atonement. In Daniel, there was a fast for a night, go to bed without dinner. Esther's fast was 3 days, 7 days for the burial of Saul, 7 days when David's son was ill. And the longest fasts were the 40 days by Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. And most of the time when I think about fasts, I think of those, I think, I never could go 40 days. But look at the folks who they were, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. Folks, we don't need to start here on number 6 and feel bad that we can't do it. Maybe we need to start here in Daniel, or here in Judges and 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, and try it just once. I want to put this tool, this discipline, this affliction of our soul back on the table as something we can try. Of course, don't do it if it's going to harm your health. Don't do it if it's going to cause you to cause undue attention to yourself. But if you need something to try to jumpstart you, if you need to repent, try a fast and a prayer. Hope this lesson's been beneficial to you. If you have any questions, I hope that you'll let me know. Thanks for joining us.